thank y'all for what you've done. Brother Danny for leading us. Miss Brandy for playing for us. What a blessing. Amen. We can sing a cappella, but I'd rather sing with some music, hadn't you? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we appreciate you so much. So much. Thank you for being here this morning. Well, it rained on us last week. We could have preached longer. Couldn't get out the door. I mean, it was raining. But I won't hold that against you. I won't make up for it today. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Anyone want to sing a special? Miss Sue, you sing. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to see you. We had some birthday young'uns this week. They're not here with us. Levi, Lydia had a birthday. They're 12 years old, aren't they? Wow. I've been here 20 years, so I was here 8 years before they showed up. Mama wasn't supposed to be able to have no babies, but she did. That's the way it is with God, you know. You ought not. They say you can't, but you did. That's the way God is. Amen. And it's Lexi's birthday this week. Also, she's 13, I believe. Those were our children. They're just growing up on us all the time, aren't they? Amen. Hallelujah. So we will wish them a birthday, happy birthday, when we see them. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning to share the Word of God with you. Larry was telling me that Bobby said he'd be glad when I get off these demons. He's everything he got tore up, broke down. Amen. I knew when I started we was going to have trouble, but it always happens. And that wasn't supposed to be but just one message. Had the one outline. But somehow it's turned into about 13. Anyway, we should know more about devils than we did before. God willing, next week will be the last message. And we'll move on to the next message, Voices from Heaven. Amen. Look forward to that. Well, today, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to read our scripture this morning backwards. Now, I'm not dyslexic, far as I know. I can't read it backwards. I'm talking about reading backwards in order. Rather than left to right, we're going to go like Hebrew this morning. We're going to go from right to left. We've been talking about the devil's desiring a residence and desiring a religion. We've talked about their mission in religion, their motive in religion. This morning I'm going to talk to you about something a little different, that which I call their miracles in religion. That sounds a little bit strange, doesn't it? So let's open our Bibles to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. There are only 22 chapters in this book. So go to the next to the last chapter, Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to read a couple of verses there. As soon as I find them. We're going to begin reading in verse number, let's see here. I'm sorry, flip back to chapter 19. I see the verse I wanted on the other page. I'm glad that it wasn't on the other side of the page. I probably would have missed it. Jesus is returning to earth. He's going to deal with somebody I'm going to talk about in just a minute. The one that we know as Antichrist. book of Revelation describes him as a beast. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet." Now notice, "that wrought miracles before him." With which, now what was the purpose of the miracles? Look. "With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that," look, "worshipped his image." Do you remember his motive in religion? It was to gain worship. To gain worship. "These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Now turn back a couple of pages to Revelation chapter number 16. Revelation chapter number 16. This is where we see the politicians. Revelation 16, verse 13, John speaking, he said, "And I saw three unclean spirits." Now, we've already talked about the description of devils. What was one of the descriptions? Unclean spirits. So he's talking about demons here. He's talking about devils. "I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Here we see the unholy Trinity. Verse 14, "For they are spirits of" what? "Devils," demons. And what are they doing? "Working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and to the whole world, to gather them to battle, to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." Now turn back a couple of more pages to Revelation chapter 13. We're following the theme of devils working miracles. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 12. He's talking here now about the false prophet. Understand this. Antichrist will be an individual who has two great skills. He has economic skills, and he has ecumenical skills. He will be a genius when it comes to the politics and finances of this world. And he will be a genius when it comes to uniting the religions of the world. So let's look about the false prophet, verse 12, Revelation 13. "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him," the first beast, "which dwell therein, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship," there it is again, "the first beast," the Antichrist, "whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." Now let's turn back a few more pages to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Now what are we dealing with here? Devils in religion, and specifically devils who work miracles. And we've read it. What is the reason and the purpose of these devils working these miracles to deceive them that dwell upon the earth. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now, this chapter has to do, the first part of it, with that man that is soon to come upon this earth. He's dealing with a literal man, a man we call Antichrist. He's known as the beast. He's known as the man of sin. He's known as the wicked one. But the Bible tells us that all the world will marvel and worship the beast. Why? They have been deceived by the miracles that were performed. Now, Paul's writing here, when he was first with the church in Thessalonica, he taught them, and later false teachers came in that preached that the resurrection had already happened. They worried about their loved ones that had died, because obviously they didn't see them. So Paul wrote the first epistle to correct that error, amen. And so he continues in 2 Thessalonians, dealing with the falsehood that Jesus had already came back. Do you know that there are Christian denominations that will teach you that Jesus has already returned to the earth? Do you know that there are Christian denominations that will teach you that Satan is bound right now in the church age in a bottomless pit? I just want to know who's causing all this trouble. If he's bound, he ain't very bound to me. Amen. Amen. The point I'm trying to make is that people told them, no, he's already come back. And I don't want to chase that rabbit too far. So he's writing to correct that. Here's what he says, beginning in verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, or you could say about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a specific part of his coming. Here he's referring to that event which we call the rapture of the church. When the Lord returns, he's going to return in two stages. There's coming a time when God is going to get fed up with this wicked, sinful, God-rejecting world. And he will pour out his wrath upon this earth because they have rejected the gospel and they have rejected his Son. But before he does that, Jesus is coming back to gather his saints. That's called in the Bible the day of Christ. When you read the expression the day of the Lord, it is usually talking about the judgment that will recur after that rapture. So he says, and by our gathering together unto him. Now, belief in a rapture used to be a common doctrine, especially in Baptist churches, but it has begun to, as you use my old grandmama's word, fizzle. You remember them old words that the old folks used? I mean, how many remember an old folk saying, well, I swanny? What does that mean? I'm not sure what a swanny is. I have an idea what they were doing. They tried not to cuss and saying, well, I swear. They had different words for that, you see, amen. Sometimes you just got to vent, don't you, amen. And they'd say, well, I was funny, amen. Well, he says that you be not soon shaken or troubled, worried, neither by spirit nor by word, and look, nor by a letter as from us. Somebody had been impostering old Paul and sent a letter like it was from him about this. He said, don't be fooled by that stuff. As that the day of Christ is at hand. It's right here, he's saying. No. Here's what he says. Let no man deceive you. What are we talking about with these miracles? Deception. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is what? Worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God and showeth himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? So this letter basically is what? A reminder. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now here's what he's saying. Listen, Christ, God's Son, came at a specific time when God had ordained and had planned. Galatians chapter 4 says this, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman made under the law. He came exactly when God planned for him to come. Friend, I want to tell you something. Antichrist will not come until God allows him to come. He says there's something that is keeping him from appearing, from coming. Amen. And he says we know what that is, and we'll deal with it in a minute. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth. That's an old English word, which means to hinder or to hold back. In other words, there's somebody that is keeping Antichrist from taking over until God opens the gate. Look what he says. He who now letteth will let, look, until he be taken out of the way. And then, when? After the restrainer is removed. And God says, it's time. It's enough. Then shall that wicked, notice that word begins with what? A capital, literally being the wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now look, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Why? Why does anybody go to hell? Why does anybody perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We hear it spoken by people today in society. God is love. And why would a loving God send one of his children to hell? Well, the simple answer is this, he wouldn't. If you're his child, you don't have to worry about him sending you to hell. But there are a lot of people in this world, billions of people, who have made a choice not to be one of his children. Why? Because they have not receive the love of the truth. What's that? The gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe anybody can be saved who wants to be saved. But if they want to be saved, they must be saved God's way, and that's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the world is rejecting all the knowledge of God. You see, we live in a day that has grown so wicked that people believe that they can come to God, they can sit in the house of God, they can worship God, but they can also, as they do that, drag their sin into the church with them. No, that's salvation man's way. That's not salvation God's way. Jesus didn't die on the cross to leave man in his sin. He died upon the cross to save man from his sin. We have homosexual churches in America today. They're not churches, they're Sodoms and Gomorrahs. Why? Because they don't believe this book. They believe that they can be saved, they can serve God, but they can maintain, retain, and continue to live in their sin. Now, friend, if the homosexual can do that, then the adulterer can do that. The murderer can do that. But the Bible makes it specifically very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, none of that crowd will be there. Friend, you don't come to God and say, God, I want to go to heaven, but I tell you what, I want to take my lifestyle with me. I want to carry my sin with me. You're not going to make it, friend. Why? You're rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves man from his sin. It doesn't condemn him in his sin, keep him in his sin. It delivers him from his sin. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he's dealing with this man that is to come. Amen. So, let's look at the man and his moment. When will Antichrist appear? You know, I've been saved now 51 years next month. Do you know how many books I have bought on prophecy and individuals who are convinced they know who the Antichrist was? I had one time on Kissinger that he was the Antichrist. You know how many books I've thrown away, burnt, give away, because they were wrong? More books than's in that library, I promise you that. Amen. Always people have tried to figure out who the Antichrist was. The man of sin. The beast, amen. But Paul says you need to understand something. Here's how you're going to know he's about to appear. He could have just said, don't worry about it. When God gets ready, he'll be here. But he doesn't do that. What does he say? He says something has to happen before he can appear. And it makes sense when you think about it. There must first come a falling away. The word is the word apostasia. It comes from a verb and a noun. The verb means to fall. The other word means to stand. So it means to fall from where you once stood. Apostasy. Now, what does that imagery mean? It tells us that there's going to come a time that the church that declared the truth of God's word, that stood for the truth of God's word, that preached the truth of God's word, that shared the truth of God's word, will no longer stand firm on that which they once believed. But they will begin to compromise, to water down, to dilute the truth of God's word so that what it plainly says no longer means what it says. Now I've got to ask you a question. Does it appear to you that we are living in that day? I just saw a preacher the other night on TV. I won't say nothing else except that she was a woman. I love women. You know, ever since I've been preaching, I say something about a woman. Oh, he hates women. I don't hate women. I ain't fond of this one, though, I'll tell you. Let me tell you what she said. She tried to justify the fact. You see, we've moved from homosexuality and sin. Now we've moved to transgenderism. And she tried to justify the fact that Jesus embraced transgender people and talked about how wonderful they were when Jesus talked about some people being born eunuchs. Amen. And some people made eunuchs. You'll find it in the Gospel of Matthew. And some were willingly eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, where in that verse do you find the word transgender? Obviously, she never bothered to get a dictionary and look up the definition of what a eunuch was. Nor did she bother to read the Old Testament to see what a eunuch was. There's nothing transgenderism about it, amen. But that's what she's preaching now. And guess what? The people there with her... Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. Now, I'm going to ask you something, and that's just one example of which I could give you many, many. Do you think there we are living in the midst of a falling away in this day in which we live? Amen. Amen. I don't have the paper with me, but I looked up one time how many English translations there were of the Bible. And there are so many that my question is this. When is enough enough? Now, in my opinion, enough was enough when we got a hold of this one. And I'm going to tell you why. Every revival America has ever experienced came as a result of this King James Bible. Now, you can't deny that. I ain't going to get into this revival supposedly that happened up here at this college. I don't have time, but I'm going to tell you what you're seeing. You're seeing a falling away by those who once stood the church for the Word of God. Now, I'm going to share something with you. Do with it what you want. Smoke it. Ball it up, throw it away, ignore it. Doesn't matter to me. There are two religious organizations on this earth that are going to determine when the persecution comes upon us. One is the Southern Baptist Convention. The other one is the Catholic Church. I don't know if you read this past week, but the Pope is reconsidering the rule of celibacy for priests. Now, I don't have a problem with that. It was wrong to start with. You can't take a man, Brother Larry, and put him in a dress and put him in a bunch of young ones without having a pedophile eventually. It just don't work. Most of them were that to start with. I could comment further, but I won't. My question is this. Do you believe that we're in the moment of a falling away? Now, here's what Paul's telling that church and us. When you see the hour when the church that once stood for the things of God, which lived the things of God, which preached the things of God, which did not back up from the things of God, when you see them drifting away and turning their backs on the doctrines of this book, he said, the time's getting close for him to appear. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you this without getting into any of the details of it. Everything that this Bible speaks of with reference to the coming of Jesus Christ the second time is in place today. You don't have to wait for tomorrow. You don't have to wait for next week. You don't have to wait for next year. Everything is in place. He could come back right this moment, not only because he chooses to, but because the timetable is correct. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, we'd have revival at the church. The church would be packed. I remember people coming down the aisles and getting saved, the movement of the Spirit of God and people responding. My friend, it was a marvelous. And the cause of it was a man stood up and preached the gospel. He preached the truth of God. The first great awakening that happened in the United States of America began with a man named Jonathan Edwards, and he wasn't even aware that it was. He preached a sermon in his church. The title of that sermon was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Didn't do nothing at his church. He went and preached it at another church. And here's what he preached. He preached that a sinner was like a spider hanging on a thread over a fire held by God Almighty. And he was about to drop him into that fire. I remember when I was a little boy, had to be five. We didn't get too much, but there was a store called the Five and Dime. How many of y'all remember them? And my daddy bought me a rubber spider. And it was on the end of a bulb, and when you squeezed it, that spider would jump. My grandmama hated spiders. She had a wood stove. Guess where my rubber spider wound up? In the wood stove. Jonathan Edwards, he preached, and as he was preaching, that you were like a spider on a thin thread about to drop into a burning flame. People in the audience began to moan and to groan and to cry and to weep. And he did not finish the sermon before people were flooding down the aisle, coming to God, my friend, not wanting to retain their sin, but be delivered from their sin and the consequences thereof. And America experienced her first great awakening, amen. How far have we fallen? How far have we drifted from the truth of the Word of God? Paul said, you watch out. When the church that once stood for the gospel of Jesus Christ begins to compromise it and say anybody can go to heaven, look out. Now, that ain't popular. That'll get you voted out, thrown off of Facebook, everything else. Friend, I just done quit preaching if I can't preach what this book says. And if you don't want it, just tell me. I'll never like to go somewhere I'm not wanted. I'll be glad to go. I'm not being ugly. You know what I'm saying here. But I'll tell you this. Since God called me to preach, I've never ever asked to preach anywhere. God always opens doors and provides it. But as long as I do preach, friend, I've gone too far. I'm going to be 75 years old this year. I'm going to stick with what this book says. And any man who preaches and don't preach from this book and doesn't teach the truths that are found in this book that have been clung to for centuries by the men of God and the people of God, I don't need to listen to what he has to say. And I ain't going to listen to what he has to say the moment of his coming. But then we see the mystery of his coming. He says that he is going to be called, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now here's what you need to understand, and you'll find it in the book of 1 John. Antichrist may not be here, but the spirit of Antichrist is here. You'll find that in 2nd chapter of 1 John, around verse 14, I believe it is. He may not be here, but his spirit is already here. And so he says the mystery of iniquity. Now, what does that word iniquity mean? I will say sin. It means wrongdoing. The word literally translated means lawlessness. Lawlessness. But not contradiction and disobedience of man's law, but disobedience to God's law. You see, we like to relabel stuff, don't we? So that sin, as the Bible says, doth not appear to be sin. We like to cover it up. But he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, his coming, this man of sin, is hidden. It's a secret. It hasn't been revealed yet. So I could name you a politician today and say, I think he's the Antichrist. But I can't prove it. Why? There's somebody and something that is keeping him from being revealed. Who is it? He talks about it in that verse. My friend, it's none other than the Holy Ghost of God. And he'll continue to keep the devil from taking over and the Antichrist from being manifested until the time is right, till he be taken out of the way. Now, some people say, well, the Holy Ghost will be taken out of here. No, that ain't going to happen, the Holy Ghost. There are people going to be saved in the tribulation period. They won't be saved without the Holy Ghost. He'll simply be taken out of the way, and he'll stop restraining him from coming. Now, look at the names of this man that is listed here. He's called the Son of Perdition. Did you notice that? Verse number 3. He's called the man of sin, be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I'm intrigued by that title, son of perdition. And the reason I am, there are only two men in the Bible that are identified as the son of perdition. First one called the son of perdition is Judas Iscariot. The only other one called the son of perdition is this man of sin, the Antichrist that is to come. What does perdition mean? It means destruction. He's the son of destruction. Now, Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, he said, all that you've given me, I have kept, talking about his children. And none are lost except for the son of perdition. Who's he talking about? Judas Iscariot. Now, here's what we read into the issue of spirit and physical. When he talks about the son of perdition, was he talking about the one who was in Judas Iscariot? Or was he talking about Judas Iscariot himself? For on the night that Judas betrayed Jesus, chapter 22 of Luke in verse 3 says, Then did Satan enter in to Judas Iscariot. The only man in the Bible that the Bible tells us that Satan himself, not a demon, not an unclean spirit, but Satan himself, the fallen one, entered into him. Now, if you'll go read John chapter 6, the great I am the bread of life chapter, long chapter, where he compared himself to the manna in the wilderness. He said, your fathers ate bread in the wilderness. Where are they at? They did. Jesus said, man don't live by bread alone, doesn't he? And then he said, I am the bread of life. And the longer that he preached, the more people began to fall out and quit following him. And when you come to the end of the chapter, Jesus turns to his disciples. He says, will you go away also? Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. Where are we going to go? Jesus said this, verse 70, I believe it is. Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Now that's very interesting. In the King James Bible, there are two words that are translated devil or devils. The first one is the word diabolos, from which we get the word diabolical. And it speaks there of a demon. But when he refers to Satan, when it speaks of Satan, it is a totally different word. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. A demon is a diamond, D-A-I-M-E-N. When you speak of the devil himself, it's the word diabolos. When Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil, guess which word he used? He didn't use the word demon. He used the word for the devil, diabolos. He said, I've chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil. Well, preacher, why would he choose a devil? Well, you need to go read John 17. He said, this is the reason that the scripture might be fulfilled. It was prophesied. Amen. Amen. Boy, I got to catch another gear. I'm falling behind. So we see the miracles that are being performed here. Verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan. There we see the author, the sponsor, with all power and signs. Now, if we left out that word lying, it'd sound just like Jesus, wouldn't it? But what is different about the miracles that Jesus performed and the ones that the false prophet and the Antichrist are going to be for? He tells us right there, his are lying wonders. They're not real. Now, I'm going to make some people mad here, but talk to Miss Ann about it when we're through. Maybe she can help you. I remember back in the 50s, actually a little prior to that, there was a man named Oral Roberts. He was a great healer, I mean. He just healed all kind of people, you know. I guess. I guess that he did. You know, he said he did. And by that, he got a great following, son. Huge in Oklahoma. Got a university in Oklahoma right now. A lot of followers. I know a lot of people wanted to go up there. He's the first I remember because that's within my lifespan. But ever since then, I've known other preachers who claim to be great healers, and they performed all these wonders. And as a result of it, they drew great crowds in. Boy, look what God's doing. Look what the Holy Ghost is doing. Here's my question. And by the way, at the end of the service, they didn't pass a plate, they passed a bucket. Would have passed a garbage can if anybody there was strong enough to tote it. My question is this, my friend, if God can use you like that, why don't you get down there in the hospital? Everybody in there is sick, they're ailing, they're dying. Why don't you go in there and heal them people? Do you want me to tell you why they don't? There ain't no money in it. Number one. Number two, their miracles and wonders are lying wonders. Well, you said it then, preacher. I don't want to hear no more about what you've got to say. Well, turn me off. That's all I know to say. But I know what I'm talking about. Saw a preacher on TV the other day. Oh, God's here. God's doing all kind of wonders and miracles. Whatever you need, you come. And they'd line up over here. And he'd take his coat off. And he'd swing his coat. And they'd all just fall out. Then he'd go over here. And he'd swing his coat. And they'd just all fall out. Somebody help me up. He went to the front row, whoo, and they just all fell out. What does that prove? I remember years ago, they talked about what was known as being slain in the spirit, and they'd fall out like that. I had a big old 300-something pound boy in the church at that time. I said, if you want to be slain in the spirit, come up here. I'll call Frank up here. He'll give you one punch and you'll be slain. You'll be laid out. When man cannot find a real miracle, he will create one. There was a time when people enjoyed, listen now, wrestling and wrestling. We enjoyed to watch people, you know, fight. Then you come to find out it was just a show. They'd done rehearsed and done all that before, amen, put on a show for us. People still love it. Why? It's entertainment. They couldn't call it a sport anymore. What do they call it now? They call it entertainment. Entertainment. Amen. So be it. What I want you to understand is, my friend, we got a bunch of frauds going around here. Now, I'm going to tell you what to put a stop to it. Are you ready? When the persecution comes. By the way, all these I just mentioned to you are multimillionaires, and I could name you one who is a billionaire. Miss Anna, tell you, if I was a billionaire, I wouldn't be one long. Why? I know too many people who need help. And I would take that which God gave me, and I'd do what I could to help them. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm just talking about my nature, and I'm comparing it to them. But instead, you know what they do with their millions of dollars? They buy them another Learjet. They can't fly with the mere mortals like you and me on a regular airplane. They've got to have their own Learjet. And if you'll just give them enough money to buy them one, God might just give you a Learjet. And people bite that stuff. Now, I know what I'm saying is rough. It's rough to take. But my friend, it is the truth, and I've got to go on. We see the man, his miracles in religion. Now, quickly go to Revelation 13. I'm going to talk about his manifestation in religion. What is this all leading up to? It's leading up to the appearance of this man. Now, you need to understand something about the word Antichrist. The word Antichrist not only can mean one who is against Christ, the word anti, but it can mean also one who takes the place of Christ. Now, Antichrist fulfills both of those definitions. He will be against God because he wants to be God. And he will then, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 said, take the place of God, sit on the throne in the temple, and declare that he is God. That's what he'll do, amen. I don't know who he is. It wouldn't surprise me he's alive right now. But I know this. One of these days, he's going to be manifested. Now, what was he called? He was called Mystery of Iniquity. But one day, he will be manifested. As I told you before, he will be a genius in economics and ecumenical things. He will bring the monetary system of the world together, and he will bring the religions of the world together. For friend, there will never be any peace until you bring some kind of harmony between the religions of this world. If you go over to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem today, walk up there, if you can get up there as a Christian, you stop in the middle of that Temple Mount, bow your head and start praying and see what happens. Everybody fighting everybody. It's the Jews' mount. Historically, that can be proven, but they can't pray up there. Yet. Yet. And so, he will have all these miracles. We saw that in chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse number... There he is, the second beast. All right. Verse 13. And he doeth great wonders. Revelation 13, 13. So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwelt on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live, and that they should worship the beast. Now, here's the mingling of the economics and the ecumenism. He will demand that all of the world receive a mark. Two things. He will demand that the world receive a mark and that they worship the beast, the Antichrist. Who will demand that? The false prophet. You see, he's a political figure, but in order to make peace in this world, now remember, this is all false. It's not real. A false peace, he has to have a prophet, does the preaching. That prophet says, this man is the Christ. This man is the Savior of the world. He's got all the answers, amen, after the big crash comes. How many of you are aware that this past week, we had some banks fail? Let's say you had $200,000 down here in the Bank of Bonifay. You said, I'm afraid this bank will fail. You went down there and said, I want my $200,000. You know what they tell you? You can't have it. You know why? They don't have it. We're all under the delusion that our money's sitting down there in the bank. It's not in that bank. They're taking your money, my money, and they're investing it in things supposedly to make money. They have to make money, don't they? To pay their depositors and also to keep everything flowing and going every minute. Well, Janet Yellen, this past week spoke. She said, don't worry. Banking system's in good shape. Everything is going to be fine. And we don't really need, and she's not the only one that said it, local, regional banks. All we really need is one central bank. Now, I don't know if you've ever read the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx, but that is the first step on the move to communism, is to develop a centralized monetary system and control the money. Then you've got the people where you want them. Have any of you read or heard of what's called the Fed coin? It's a digital currency. It's ready to come out. And one of these days, you're going to go to the bank and say, I'd like to get $1,000 out. Well, you really can't. Why? Because cash is not any good anymore. You have $10,000 in the bank. It's been transferred into this digital currency. Now, you not only cannot buy and sell without the digital currency, but everything that you do buy and sell, they know every move you make. And therefore, the next thing to follow after centralizing the monetary system are your freedoms. Friend, I know I'm a dummy, I know I'm a fool, I know I'm an idiot. You don't need to tell me all that. But I'm telling you, that's about to come upon this world. There are people who say, if you've got money in the bank, you better take that money and turn it into substance. Buy something of substance that you will have. What does the Bible say about money? The book of Isaiah. There will come a time when man will throw his money into the street. Why? Because it's not any good. Do you remember what happened in Germany in the great crash? It took a wheelbarrow full of marks, their money, to buy a sandwich. The money was no good. This man will have the answer for the economic collapse that's coming upon this world. Ask yourself, why are we allowing thousands and thousands to flood in our country from the southern border and from the northern border? Because the powers that be in power right now want to dissolve the sovereignty of the United States of America to make us a part of the coming global system that is already outlined and prepared. Son, it's coming. All it takes is for the restrainer to be taken out of the way, and it will happen overnight. If you haven't learned to trust God yet, today would be a good time to start. Here is His desire and His manifestation. He wants to appear as the Savior of the world. And He wants to be the sovereign of the world. He will have the answers, and all the world will worship Him. And His ego will get so big that He will go down to Jerusalem, enter into the Holy of Holies, and sit down and declare that He is God. You know, I used to think that they had to find the Ark of the Covenant to build the temple. But then I got to thinking, no, they don't. The second temple never had an Ark of the Covenant. And so the new one they're going to build over there for long in Jerusalem, it won't have one either. He'll be glad to go in there and sit down. And He'll declare, I am God. One thing He didn't take into calculation. The Jew. Now, did you notice the miracle that He performed, one of them that is listed, described? He called fire down from heaven. Now, who else in the Bible called fire down from heaven? Elijah did. They're going to be deceived by the miracle, thinking this man is of God, just like Elijah was of God. But what he doesn't know is that God's going to send His own two witnesses, and one of them, I believe, will be Elijah. And they're going to perform miracles, and they're going to say, look, bud, you better not go that way. And there's going to be a Jewish revival like there's never been. There's really never been a Jewish revival. You know that? Study the Old Testament. Study it historically. But, buddy, there's going to be one then when the Jew turns his heart back to God. Amen. And they realize that Jesus was their Savior. He was their Messiah. And, brother, that's when all the armies are going to be called together for the war that is called Armageddon. Friend, it's coming. Well, I won't be fooled by that. Well, what if you saw a miracle? Would that fool you? People being fooled now by lying miracles, ain't no miracle going on. Just a big old show to get money. I don't know why people can't see that, but they just can't. Amen. So what's going to happen when this man appears and all the world sees the things that he does? And he'll say, this is the Savior of the world. He deserves your worship. Not only that, if you worship Him, He'll take care of you if you just receive His mark. And all that receive that mark are instantly condemned to an eternity in hell. That's what the Bible says. Now, understand this. People will not be tricked into receiving the mark. They'll know full well what they're taking at that time. So you ain't got to worry about people saying, well, I didn't know what it was. I didn't mean to. Oh, yes, you did. It'll be very plain whose side you're on whenever you do that. Friend, the day's coming. I know I've been long. But what I want to tell you this morning is, don't be fooled by what you see with your eyes. Do you know what I'd do if I was a televangelist? I'd get me somebody like David Copperfield. If you want people to see miracles, I've watched all of them. I ain't seen a miracle yet. I've seen people collapse. I've seen them jump down and say they were healed. But I ain't seen nobody brought back from the dead. They didn't see no eyes be opened up before they couldn't see. I'd get David Copperfield up there. Son, he saw a woman in half. You can watch him do it. He'll pull her apart there. You can see it. I've seen him make tigers appear out of nowhere. I've seen a woman be in this cage, and he'll make that woman appear in that cage. That's what I'd get. Boy, you talk about passing the bucket. You could really pass a bucket. But you know why they don't do that? They don't need to. It costs you a lot to hire David Copperfield or somebody like him. They can get it a whole lot cheaper, can't they? Amen. You better be careful what you believe in this world with your eyes. It's like I tell everybody, I don't believe anything I hear, and very little that I see. That's the world we live in today. And you really better be careful. When the bottom falls out of this thing and desperation hits the United States, we're absorbed into the global system. Another part of that lie, by the way, is global warming. I feel so far for these kids in school, so sorry, that have been taught this stuff and believe it. You do know now Al Gore wrote a book called An Inconvenient Truth. And according to his book, you and me, you and me, right now in 2023, we ought to be about knee-deep in water. I can take you down to Gulfport, Mississippi, and there's a little pillar column, concrete pillar that goes out on that water I dove off of as a 7-year-old child. Guess what? It's still there. Ought to be underwater. Man, that's almost 75 years ago. It ought to be underwater. But guess what? It ain't underwater. Quit believing lies. That's the purpose of the miracles. They're just trying to get you ready. They want you to believe they have the answers. Ah! We've got a pandemic. Come get this shot. I fell for it. You know the first thing I noticed when I went and got my first shot? And this should have been a clue to me. But you know, I told you I'm not bright. Military was giving it. Military was giving it. Why didn't they send that to my doctor and let me go down here to her and let her give me that shot? It was called a vaccination against COVID-19. Guess what? I got two of them. Not only that, I got COVID-19. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That was just in preparation. They fooled me one time. They're not going to fool me again. I don't care if I do die. That's enough. Come on, Brandywine.